Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, April 6th. I'm Sarith Hawk. California farmers are facing a number of issues in the current labor market, from tariffs to worker shortages, and the number of family farms are declining.
About 95% of our farms are still family-owned. I think that gets lost in some of the numbers that are out there, but it's a challenge.
California Secretary of Agriculture Karen Ross speaks with us about the state of agriculture. That conversation in just a moment.
KVPR's podcast, Central Valley Daily, is proud to be the Valley's only daily news podcast. And what better way to show your support for local news than to join us at Corks and Brews, KVPR's Beer and Wine Festival. We'll have live music, food trucks, and a silent auction, all along the gorgeous San Joaquin River. The event is Sunday, May 3rd, and tickets are $75. Get yours at kvpr.org. We can't wait to see you there.
And now to our feature story. When Governor Gavin Newsom's term comes to an end, there will be a changing of the guard for many executive positions. Among them is the Secretary of the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Karen Ross has been one of the longest-serving agriculture secretaries in state history, and she is set to retire at the end of 2026. She's leaving at a tough time for California agriculture, where the needs of farmers are as diverse as the crops they grow. KVPR's Carrie Klein spoke to Secretary Ross about the many issues currently facing the industry, including tariffs, high production costs, and labor shortages.
This is definitely the worst ag economy I've seen in over 30 years working in public policy. But our big issues right now are obviously we're still having disruptions in global trade, which is very important for California. We're the number one ag producing state, almost $24 billion product that went overseas in the last year that we have records for. So those disruptions in trade, going back to even the supply chain and the what was happening with port backup and everything, and then the loss of some of our global markets, as well as the tariff issues, which people are still trying to recover from. Weather's always going to be a challenge, but some of the extreme weather events that we have, I've been through two historic droughts. Obviously, one was broken with floods, which we were able to, with a lot of innovation, get a lot of that water to recharge our groundwater basins. The pest issues are exacerbated because of our constantly changing climate, where we have less chill hours, which is critically important for our fresh fruits and the wine sector in particular. And just the economics, production costs increased dramatically over the last few years. And what's happening with fertilizer right now because of the conflict in the Middle East will just add another challenge to the daily life of a farmer.
Now, you just mentioned the war in Iran. Reports show this conflict has increased the cost of fuel and fertilizer, as you said. Exports have also been interrupted. How are farmers navigating this time?
Some of that has left the farm, and if they're a member of a cooperative, they're the ones that are figuring that out. Some of those shipments got diverted. Obviously, the cost of shipping and the insurance, if they'll still do insurance, has gone up dramatically with some of those issues, and yet some of those markets in the Middle East, Northern Africa, are some of our fastest growing markets for some of our products, like our tree nuts in particular. So farmers always find a way, but it doesn't make farming any easier. It just adds so much stress and additional risk to a business that has lots of risks on a daily basis because of the uncontrollables.
Right. You also mentioned tariffs. You know, tariffs were enforced and then they weren't, and then the amounts have been adjusted. How are tariffs affecting California farmers right now?
Well, it can make us less competitive. It's part of negotiating price. And if you've already committed to a price and the tariffs go up, that becomes yet another challenge. Some of our crops like almonds were 85, 86% of the world's supply. But, you know, you're negotiating the price. And if the tariff goes up, that may come back as a lower commodity price to you. So there's not a lot of leeway other than constantly working at being a good, reliable supplier with quality product that's produced to the standards that consumers increasingly expect when it comes to our cultural practices. And building those relationships, that's one thing about global trade. A lot of these countries, it's gaining that trust so that when you're going through a challenging time like this, you're still willing to work with each other because you've built a record of trust and delivering on the expectations.
And I want to stay with the federal government a little bit. There have been concerns about how federal authorities have gone about deporting and detaining people in the country without legal status. For instance, ICE raids began in our region in Kern County in early 2025 and resulted in many farm workers detained on their way to work. Some ag groups have condemned this administration's approach. You know, how do you feel that this has affected farming operations in California? And what are the downwind consequences of that?
You know, those early raids definitely sent a chill, and there's a lingering cloud of fear, even though the raids on fields and packing houses have been pretty minimal. Just the fear that it casts in community and the rumor mill that can start because, you know, unmarked white vehicles that could be ICE feed rumors in an already frightened population. The farmer community has worked very closely with organizations to get the factual information out as quickly as possible. A lot of work happened, especially last year, and I'm sure what will continue, to make sure that both the farmers as property owners and the employees know what their rights are, and making sure that people know to have a plan. It can be very frightening should someone show up at the field and you're not sure what to do or what your rights are. And a lot of work has gone into that. And just trying to assure people that they can be safe in their workplace becomes another role in the daily life of producing this beautiful food that we produce.
Now, a year ago, across California, we were talking about bird flu, avian influenza ripping through industrial poultry populations and dairy cattle, dairy farms. Where does bird flu stand today?
I don't want to jinx anything, but all of our dairy herds are out of quarantine. We had over 700 dairies that were impacted one way or the other for the last year. A lot of improved biosecurity practices at dairies and in our poultry houses. But the challenge for all of us is that we continue to see the avian influenza in wildlife. Particularly, we are part of the Pacific Flyway, so springtime migratory patterns as well as the fall ones just bring additional hazard for us, as well as, you know, the findings with seals and some of the mammals on the coastal area just shows that it's in our atmosphere and is something that we're going to have to continue to cope with. Very hopeful that there will be great success on vaccines to help manage this particular risk.
Now, farming is commonly a generational occupation, but there's long been a decline in family farms, partly due to rising costs and increasing water restrictions. What do you see as the future of farming in California?
Yeah, so about 95% of our farms are still family owned. I think that gets lost in some of the numbers that are out there, but it's a challenge. I'm a farm kid. We were told to go get an education. Farming is a hard way of making a living. I'm very thankful to my brother that farming was what he always wanted to do and did it very, very well before he retired. But that's what families are facing now. You know, the kids are looking at, do I want to come back? Is that the lifestyle I want? Is that the work that I want to do? Or they're eager to go get experience doing something else. And then if there's profitability and they know it's a great place to raise a family, they might come back. But there's a lot of families that because of the current economics, it's getting harder and harder to say, what is the future here? Do we have the scale? Do we have the right crops to sustain adding additional family members to the payroll of a family farm? The age of our farmers continues to increase, and yet we have many people that are very interested as new beginning farmers doing smaller scale agriculture close to urban centers and doing more direct to consumers. So it's a good mix that's out there, but there's no doubt this is a challenging time to decide if you're going to continue as the family operation or is now the time that we choose to do something else.
Now, I also wanted to discuss the Farm Bill. It's designed to last 5 years, and the last one was passed in 2018. It's been extended since then, but for all intents and purposes, the bill is overdue. How do you think that is affecting farming in California?
It's another layer of uncertainty at a time where being able to count on specific programs and the funding of those programs and the authority for the USDA to implement those programs is probably more important than ever. Obviously, having this kind of a review every 5 years allows for modernization and updating to reflect more real-time situations. And so the commodity title for a lot of crops that are important to the Midwest and the Southeast when it comes to corn and soybeans and those types of crops, that's very important.
And finally, Secretary, you're set to retire later this year. As you move on from this position, what do you hope for in the next chapter of California Ag?
Well, my term ends when the governor's does at the end of this calendar year. I've been extremely blessed to have had the opportunity to serve for what will be 16 years of a sector of California life and California's economy and landscape that I'm just so passionate about. What happens in our agriculture is just, it's a miracle of innovation and creativity. And so I'm very grateful for that.
Great. Well, Karen Ross, Secretary of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
That was KVPR's Carrie Klein in conversation with Secretary Karen Ross of the California Department of Food and Agriculture. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Carrie Klein, Jonathan Linden, Elizabeth Arkalian, Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.